And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
What's good, everybody? Monday morning. It's week two of the fantasy hockey season. Pete and Nick back with you here on NHL Fantasy on Ice. And Nick, things are starting off hot for our fantasy league so far, right, man?
Yeah, feeling good, feeling great. Want to thank our partners over at Skip for everything they've done for us so far and throughout this season. Shout out to our guy Isaiah Mustafa for voicing the intro. I'm good to go. How are you?
Doing great. So much good food up in Canada, so make it convenient, right? You, Skip, really excited to be partnered with them. Really excited to have one of Canada's finest on today, Anna Dua, our friend from NHL.com. How's it going, Anna? How's your fantasy season kicking off so far?
It's going great. I love that intro. This is a perfect start to my week this early Monday morning. And fantasy season's been good so far. I think I'm off to a good start.
Anna's been helping me out. I'm doing actually a dynasty league. It's a slow draft. It's been going on for about a week and a half. And I've been relaying my picks to her. We've been getting some nice hidden gems for the some of the teams we like out there that are, you know, starting off hot. I think the Red Wings are one team, you know, they're undefeated so far, that I've been stacking a bunch of guys from. And Nick, what are your thoughts on this team? I mean, I know I was high on them, Anna was as well, but do you think this is like much more accelerated than we would have expected from a team like this, this early? They still got a long way to go in a good way. They're going to be a scary team the next couple of years.
Yeah, this episode is brought to you by the phrase, it's early, but I think there's a couple teams out there that had a really, really prolific and hot starts. Detroit's among them, Pete. And I just think it's too early to make a proclamation one way or another. I'm going to enjoy the good times with teams like Detroit and others that have had hot starts, you know, Philadelphia. I'm going to take my time with this. But again, it's impressive to see. And it's great for you, Anna, because you really like Detroit going into this season, right?
I do like Detroit, and I know it's early. It's just been a week, so not trying to jump the gun here, but there are trends we saw this entire offseason that we're finally able to see in regular season games. And even though it's just been two games, seeing how certain players are playing are making me excited for this year. I liked seeing Rana get a goal. Dylan Larkin was another player who, after all of the offseason moves, I was expecting to take another step. He's leading Detroit in points. He has 4-2 games. So just these little hints of what they can do this season, I'm super excited about the Red Wings.
And of course, Pete, we saw a contractor Tyler Bertuzzi get banged up in the first game, right? Or the second game.
We did, but again, they have a surplus of young talent. We've seen this kid, Elmer Soderblom, even come in and score. He's not a kid. He's only 21 years old, but he's like 6'8" and 240 something pounds, according to Elite Prospects, which is just scary in terms of his potential. I've never seen a hockey player at the forward position that big and make such an immediate impact. So again, they have Raymond, they have Sider, they have other guys waiting in the wings, pardon the pun, right? We have Edvinson in the pipeline. Sebastian Kosa is one of those guys that I scooped up in my dynasty league. I actually took Mo Sider in the first round of that dynasty league because of his hits and blocks coverage. So, I mean, this team is loaded. And we saw Ville Husso, right, the big offseason acquisition, get a shutout in his first game. So any concerns about that guy replicating or building on what he did in St. Louis? So far, so good for the guy.
Yeah, in my world, I think there's still major concerns. I think there's going to be a bit of a hiccup going from St. Louis to Detroit. But so far, so good. I think when you look at Detroit, I think we piggyback off that, guys. And let's touch on the Philadelphia Flyers. Obviously, again, small sample size, and you can preface that with everything we say probably on this podcast. But Anna, what a start for Philadelphia. And it's sort of intriguing, too. Like, a player that's on the waiver wire list this week is Travis Konecny. Going into this season, I don't know about you guys, but if you had to handicap a player that could have flourished under John Tortorella, it's probably Travis Konecny, right?
John Tortorella is one of those coaches that can take anything and make it work for a period of time. So I'm not as surprised as maybe other folk with how Philadelphia started this season off so far. But when we take a look at players like Travis Konecny, when we take a look at players like Carter Hart, these are players who have always been talented and have had high ceilings. They just haven't really had the environment which they flourished in. And I think, like, early on, it is definitely a hot start for Philadelphia. I don't see this lasting, but these are some players that maybe you can add on that will have decent seasons, just given this new coaching change, this new system, even though they might not be competitive in the next couple of weeks.
Good start with wins over the New Jersey Devils and Vancouver Canucks, but I want to see where this team is two games from now. They play the Tampa Bay Lightning on the road and the Florida Panthers on the road. That could be a rude awakening for Philly. But another guy just to piggyback off of beneficiaries of Tortorella, how about Ivan Provorov coming back from the doldrums, right, of fantasy world the past couple of years? 3 assists plus 5 in his past 2 games. And that's something the defensive structure is going to benefit players like him. Carter Hart off to a flying start so far for Philadelphia. So Philly's pretty good days right now in Philly between the Eagles and the Phillies and even the Flyers exceeding expectations so far. But yeah. I don't see this team finishing any higher than maybe 6th in the Metro, maybe ahead of Columbus and the Jersey Devils. But it's going to be an uphill battle for this team over the long haul.
Yeah, you know, I don't watch football, so I don't have any idea who the Eagles are. But yes, you're right on the Philadelphia Flyers. I think even look at what they're doing on the back end, too, on the power play, right? Tony DeAngelo's been a nice addition so far, but definitely, again, very, very early. And you know, I love the schedule, a 4-game week here for the Philadelphia Flyers. Let's dive into some more waiver looks, NHL.com/fantasy and the waiver wire, of course. Martin Natchez, the Carolina Hurricanes, and a very interesting file because a couple of years back, he was a prominent name, then dove a bit back last season. What do you see in this player so far this season?
We like him. I know Pete likes him as well. We had him as a player to watch in this first week of the season in terms of assists. And I think the Carolina Hurricanes is a team that I said time and time again, I'm targeting players for secondary production. And he's had a phenomenal start to this season. And even if that slows down, he's still going to get the points in. He's still going to get the production in. They're such a strong team. So that is absolutely a player I had my eye on this first week of the season.
One interesting thing for Natchez right now, I know there were no games on Sunday, but he leads the NHL, tied for the NHL lead in even strength points with 4 so far. And good note by Waiver Wire James in the article, he ranks 2nd among Hurricanes forwards in average ice time with 18 plus minutes per game behind only Sebastian Aho. So you think of him as a secondary guy for the Carolina Hurricanes, but that's a very prominent role. And to be playing that big minutes and not be on power play 1, maybe only a matter of time before Natchez gets elevated to that unit. And then the rest could be history. I know they're getting some nice production from their secondary forwards so far and hope it continues if you pick them to win the cup this year.
The cherry on top for Natchez for me as to probably would swing me to at least take a flyer on the waiver wire. He's playing with Svechnikov and Jesperi Kotkaniemi, right? And Svechnikov's a guy that I think we looked at coming into this season and we started to wonder about in terms of production. He's had a really, really hot start, so that's great to see. Speaking of hot starts, the fountain of youth, Anna, David Krejci comes back to the NHL. And Pete, we touched on this last week, but that top line of the Bruins, we wondered if depth was going to be a story for this team. And it sounds like Brad Marchand could be closer than expected, by the way, coming back from injury. But what a return for the 36-year-old, Pete.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. And again, Pavel Zacha is somebody that I know Anna was really high on. Even when you look at all the different options around the league, all the guys that changed teams in the offseason, I know Anna was really advocating to pick that guy up late in your draft. And he's still out there. If someone's already picked up some of the hot guys around the league, like Kuzmenko and Krejci and Arturi Lehkonen, who's heating up really in a big way on the Avalanche power play, like we talked about last week. But Zacha's still a way to tap into that top line in Boston. And the beauty of it is, Anna, when Brad Marchand comes back, it could be Marchand and Bergeron with someone else on the right wing and then stick with kind of Pasternak on his own line with Krejci. And Zacha could just be the third wheel on that line for the rest of the season.
I agree. And all throughout the offseason, at the very end, I would fight every single week to make sure that Pavel Zacha stayed in our top 250 rankings. And this is exactly why on the New Jersey Devils, I saw what he was capable of. I just don't think that was the system to really help him thrive. But the Boston Bruins is a team that really helps these wingers take another level. And I think Pavel Zacha is showing how good he can be on this team. The Bruins, what a start for them, though. David Pastrnak, I mean, there was never any question, but he has 4 points in his first two games. And then you have Zaka, you have Krejci, and I kind of feel like they're not even missing anyone at this point. They seem like a threat regardless of the fact that they're a banged up team. And I was really expecting them to be the team to watch down the stretch, but they're making a point at the start of this season that they're going to be competitive throughout the entire year and then be even scarier when all of their assets come back. So the Boston Bruins are a team that, if I'm not the most impressed by, definitely up there for me this first week.
And that's why I'm always careful to discount this team, because when they always, you know, try to defy odds and everybody's like, oh, they're finished, they're done, they come back with this type of start. Again, it's early. We could say that throughout this podcast, but it's been a good start, a strong start across the board, and really impressive, Pete, when you look at some of the players not playing right now for Boston, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if we're talking about strong starts for fantasy, I wanted to also give a shout out to the Seattle Kraken. Just a much better brand of hockey. Their power play is working. It's so far, guys, right? 5-for-13 to start the season. And it's one of those teams that even if they don't end up being a playoff team or anything close to it, Anna, there are a lot of sources of fantasy value from this team. Maybe the biggest name in terms of surprises so far, Justin Schultz, the former power play quarterback for a couple of different teams. He was always the guy when somebody big was injured, right? Like a John Carlson or a Chris Letang. He would the guy that would step up and have streaming value. Now he's on PP1 with some of these talented players in Seattle.
And he's showcasing how good he can be with Seattle. A lot of these former players from other teams that never really took that next step, flourishing in Seattle. I got to give a shout out to Andrei Burakovsky right now. I've been high on him all offseason. I was high on him with the Avalanche. I thought that he had another step to take with the Capitals. I was kind of disappointed for the Capitals that they let him go that early. But in Seattle, he's doing exactly what I expected him to. He's tied with Matty Beniers for their lead in points so far. Also has 4 in their first 3 games. And he's a player that I advocated picking up for that secondary scoring. They're testing out lines a little bit right now. We're seeing Bjorkstrand, Burakovsky, Beniers kind of shift between the top 2 lines for the Kraken at the moment. I hope at some point we see a consistent stretch of Bjorkstrand, Beniers, Burakovsky. I think that's going to be a lethal line. It might be up there in the league for one of the best top lines if we let that happen.
Yeah, dare I say my catchphrase will change from fade the Kraken to take the over, Pete. They still can't make a save, right? But whatever.
They got 2 good power play units, though, I'm seeing. Good. So even with Burakovsky and Vince Dunn on the second unit, like, don't pull the plug on Vince Dunn if you took him late in your draft, because he has 2 power play points already. And then, you know, some of those other guys, Jared McCann, like, was very productive for them last year, even though they were so bad, and led them in a couple of key categories with a lot of shots on goal and things like that. So, yeah, all of a sudden, 2 good lines, 2 good power play units. The goaltending's still a little shaky. I think we've seen that from them so far. Grubauer hasn't been that much better than he was last year, which is disappointing. But again, Seattle is just going to be a lot more fun to watch and have a lot more offensive capability by a mile, really, than they had last year.
I've really enjoyed Oliver Bjorkstrand, too, in the shot prop, and I've enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. And if we're talking about, I got to bring this up here. We're talking about hot starts right now. And I thought Pete would bring this up earlier, but since he hasn't, I'm going to steal his thunder. What about the Buffalo Sabres? That's a team that I was very impressed by this last first week. They had a lot of young players who had great NHL first goals. They showcased how talented they were. Rasmus Dahlin being the defenseman that I thought he was going to be this season. Do you think they're a little bit ahead in their timeline to become a serious competitive team? Do you think they could compete for the playoffs as early as this season? Or do you think it's just a hot start for Buffalo?
Pete, you're an advocate. You go first here.
It's going to be crowded in that division, but I like what I've seen so far. I like that they're starting the season with guys like Peterka, who scored a goal in his first game, had an assist in his second game. Their third line right now is Peterka, Peyton Krebs, and Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins, if you missed it last year, was actually pretty productive for them in a secondary role with not that much power play time and not that much top 6 usage. So, yeah, I'm really excited about Buffalo. They still, you know, they have the 1-2 punch on defense. They have Tuck and, of course, Tage Thompson, and then the veterans like Skinner, and Olofsson's productive no matter where he is in that lineup. So all of a sudden you look at them with 3 strong lines as opposed to, what, a couple of years ago. Remember when they had Eichel and Taylor Hall, and like that was it pretty much. I mean, they got a lot of options, and they're only going to get better from here. So don't shy away, because that team is building from within, and they're going to be a special group in 2 to 3 years from now.
I will give you some love on the waiver wire this week for your call picking Buffalo over Ottawa in the season opener. I'm still trying to make something of the Matias Samuelson contract extension. No NHL goals, 50 games played. Here's 7 years and what, $38 million or whatever. Like, it was crazy to me. But nonetheless, I do think Buffalo is going to have a better season. I do think offense won't be a problem for them. I just wonder, guys, if they can keep the puck out of the net. And on top of that, I just think there's too much depth in that Atlantic division where I don't think Buffalo is going to be sort of a contender for a playoff spot when things are all said and done, because there's too many good teams in that division.
As we look around the league at other teams that haven't lost so far, the Dallas Stars, I think, are a team that maybe I underestimated a little bit in the offseason, guys. As much as you could be critical of their salary cap structure, you can't deny that they have some of the better young players in the whole league with Jason Robertson and Roope Hintz, right? And Jake Ottinger is off to a great start. Anna, I know you were high on him in a lot of our drafts in the offseason. And then also Miro Heiskanen is a guy that I thought, based on his contract, you know, could still have a higher ceiling and outperform that contract. We haven't seen the best of Miro Heiskanen yet. If you look at those four players, that's why Dallas is 2-0 to start the season. And that's why they still have a lot of potential in the years to come.
Most impressive to me, guys, is the fact that they win back-to-back games, right, and against the Nashville Predators. Very seldom do you see that in this league. They usually split it, but to come out and slap them around in back-to-back games, Mason Marchment's had a really, really hot start. 3 goals, 8 shots on goal, 4 hits. His attachment to Tyler Seguin, who had 3 apples in the season opener. I'm with Pete. All in all, it's been an impressive start. Again, it is early, but Ottinger's been on and Dallas has been locked in here.
Ottinger, I expected to do well this season. He was a goaltender that was so phenomenal last playoffs that I genuinely think that he could be in the Vezina conversation as early as this year. But Pete's right. I'm really impressed by what these young players have done so far. And with Dallas, I think sometimes I get a little biased with seeing the trajectory of players like Tyler Seguin, like Jamie Benn, and thinking that maybe Dallas is kind of done here a little bit. But seeing what Marchment's done coming over to Dallas, Jason Robertson, Hintz, and Heiskanen, you see that this is a very talented young team that has a pretty high ceiling. And I'm a big advocate of good goalies take you very, very far in this league. When Vegas first came into this league, I had them making the playoffs and a lot of people were like, why? And I was like, because of Marc-Andre Fleury, although that might not be a hot topic this season so far with his start. But I see the same with Jake Ottinger, a great goalie who's really solid, really talented, can take a team pretty, pretty far in this league.
You mentioned Fleury. He got lit up the other day for 4 goals, got pulled from the game. Minnesota's lost their first 2 games. Are you panicking with the Minnesota Wild? Seems like some bad vibes up there dating back to the playoffs last year where they were really underwhelming. We were talking about coaches on the hot seat entering the season. In the offseason, we didn't really mention Dean Evason, but that's one for me that I'm a little bit concerned about, Nick. As we get through the first week of the season, Minnesota struggling to do so.
Yeah, for me, no panic just yet. I think it's quite clear they can't keep the puck out of the net. The more surprising thing is that it happened on home ice, where they've been pretty much a lock for the over and to win games. And they're not doing much of anything right now, right? They're scoring goals. That game against Los Angeles was nuts, but they can't keep the puck out of the net. We'll see if Kalen Addison can be better defensively. Hasn't really done much offensively, just picks up a point so far. But ultimately, I think you're right. And you've mentioned this throughout the offseason, Pete. 10 different coaches lost their jobs during the regular season last year. And there's expectations, right, Anna, with a Minnesota team, can, you know, considering what they've done the last couple of years, right?
I know a couple of our fans and listeners commented and asked about what they should do with Marc-Andre Fleury. And right now, I would hold on to him. I think he's still a solid goalie. And maybe this is just a little bit of rust coming off from the offseason. But there are pieces in Minnesota that the team has to be excited about. And if they don't produce, then I agree, there might be a little shift in the coaching behind the bench. But Matt Boldy is a player, I guess, to highlight Minnesota, something good that's happened so far that's really impressed me. He has 2 goals, 2 assists, and he can reach another level in his game as well. He kind of gives me a little bit of the same vibes as Kirill Kaprizov, like not exactly that level of being that much of an elite talent just yet, but I don't think it's that far off to make a comparison between the two of them. And if he does keep on his current trajectory, imagine having a player like Kaprizov and high ceiling Matt Boldy on the same team for the Wild.
Filthy hands. That goal he scored the other night was unbelievable. I got a couple questions here for Pete. Number one, I have a comment and a question. For Marc-Andre Fleury, I think he's a pretty good buy-low target. If you can pull that off right now, it's relatively early, as mentioned. And number two, Pete, Your thoughts on Marco Rossi, right? Like, this is a guy we played up quite a bit in the offseason. It's been a so-so start. I think saw over 10 minutes in the first game, just under 5 minutes in game two. Obviously, they're going to be very, very careful with his utilization, but I probably expected more given his preseason, right?
I expected him to be a little higher in the lineup. I expected him to put up at least a shot on goal. He's got no shots on goal in his first two games. I mean, that's drop territory in a non-keeper league, right? If you pick this guy up in the late rounds, you want to pick up like a Marchman or a Lekkonen or a Zaka or any of these different guys we're talking about. Maybe even a Paterka over Marco Rossi to start the season. And I am concerned about Fleury. I mean, we had him ranked as a fringe top 10 goalie, but he's older. He doesn't have, as robust of a full lineup in front of him after the Fiala trade. And if that defense is this shaky, I mean, that's the trademark of this team. So if they're not going to have a good defense, they're going to miss the playoffs this year, the Minnesota Wild. So I think the floor is lowish for Fleury. And I'm not super high on going out and, you know, selling the farm to buy low on him. I would probably fade Marc-Andre Fleury unless you already have him, in which case you got to be patient.
So you think the Wild are that bad that they're not going to make the playoffs?
They're not that bad. I mean, they should hang around. They should be in that conversation. I think St. Louis is better than them, and I'm not even super high on St. Louis this year. I think the Pacific's really strong. It's probably going to overwhelm the Central Division, Anna, in the head-to-head matchups this year. And then Colorado, Winnipeg off to a hot start with their win over the Rangers the other day. Nashville, I guess, is another one of those middle of the road teams, and Dallas should be pretty good. So they're not, and then St. Louis. So there's not that many spots available for the taking for the Minnesota Wild to make the playoffs. That's my only comment on it. It's not like I'm completely off the boat on that team, but just too much talent out there in the West.
In the Central, it's the Colorado Avalanche and everyone else. And everyone else I see is going to be pretty, pretty close. So it's going to be a fight to get into the playoffs. I agree with Pete. I think the Pacific is standing out as the most competitive division in the West. But since we're talking about underwhelming performances, we had Jack Hughes as a player to watch this season. At least I did. I talked about him a lot this offseason. And the New Jersey Devils, they're off to a rough start, and I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be this rough this early on. I wasn't high on them making the playoffs this year, but they have a lot of talent. They have a lot of young talent, and I just haven't seen the spark that I needed to see from them, especially when they were playing games against teams like the Philadelphia Flyers that I thought were going to go heavily in New Jersey's favor. I just want to know, Pete, what do you think is the direction of this team? Is there a way they recover from this, or is this a slump season for the Devils?
I mean, they're going to be near the bottom of the Metro for sure, if that first game against Philly is any indication. And just to gauge how the pulse of the fans and how they're feeling right now, I got a fan question yesterday asking, should I drop Jack Hughes for Matty Beniers?
What?
And that is a question that's really polarizing. But when you really step back and look at it, we're all high on Beniers. He's been lightning in a bottle to start the season for Seattle, totally fueling that offense. And if Seattle's going to be much improved and the Devils are going to be stuck in the basement, I advise that guy to go out. I said, don't drop Jack Hughes. If you want to trade him away in a 2-for-1 deal and try to upgrade some other position on your roster, do that before picking up Beniers. The guy must be in a shallow league if Beniers is still available, but still don't cut the cord on Jack Hughes just yet. I don't see this team competing for a playoff spot this year.
Relax, chill. Patience is a virtue. That's the biggest advice I can tell a fantasy owner. It's two games into the season for the New Jersey Devils. I think you're ruining your chances at a fantasy championship if you're looking to drop or trade Jack Hughes right now. It's just way too early. Like, I just think when you look at New Jersey, the one issue they probably won't have this season, guys, and they've had it to date, is offense. They're going to score plenty of goals. I just, again, wonder if they can keep the puck out of the net, Anna.
I agree. I think they are going to score goals. And now to just pitch my own pick from this offseason, how about a pickup of Dawson Mercer? Or if anyone listened to me all offseason and actually drafted Dawson Mercer, this is my I told you so moment, because he's one player who actually I'm pretty impressed with. He has 11 shots on net through the first couple of games for the Devils, leads the Devils in that category more than Jack Hughes. And I want to see him move up their lineup. I want to see him move up their depth chart, and the Devils really give him an opportunity to to succeed, because I've said time and time again, he was on the best line for the New Jersey Devils last season in the absence of Jack Hughes. And if he just gets a good lineup spot, the sky's the limit for Doss and Mercer. The one thing I am worried about the Devils is their lineups and their line combinations at the moment, because I was really excited for Jack Hughes to maybe play with Alexander Holtz. And I saw that that did not happen in their last game. Holtz was on the fourth line, even though he scored his first NHL goal in their season opener. So I'm kind of confused with what New Jersey's trying to do. And that's the only reason I would be a little bit wary of the players on the team. But I heavily recommend getting Dawson Mercer as a pickup if he is available, or maybe even getting a trade for him right now.
Right. Dawson Mercer, 11 shots on goal in his first two games. That's maximizing his ice time. Also, Jesper Bratt carrying over his breakout season with 3 assists and 5 shots in his first two games. That's a guy, Nick, that just got completely disrespected in the offseason, not only in fantasy, but the fact that that breakout season only resulted in a 1-year contract. So he's still got a lot to prove this upcoming season, even if the Devils are down and out.
Yeah, we love motivation, certainly in the fantasy world. And I think when you look at the Devils, the main reason is because I think everybody's listening to this podcast, the coaches included, and saying, oh, these are all the guys Pete pimped in the preseason because they were outstanding. Well, the regular season is a different story, Pete, as we know with guys like Marco Rossi and Alexander Holtz. But I think you look at New Jersey, and I'm Mr. Skepticism, as we all know on this podcast. The one team I think that's cooked, that's finished, they're done, the Columbus Blue Jackets. You lose Patrick Laine, he's everything to that team aside from Johnny Gaudreau. The goaltending's vital. Zach Werenski, he's done for 3 to 4 weeks. I just don't see a scenario. Maybe I'm being too bold with this take. Columbus recovers. I think they miss the playoffs, guaranteed.
It's a tough start for them. It's just like some dominoes working against them. We haven't really seen much from Jenner. I know Johnson started the season in the AHL. Now he's back up because they have no choice. I mean, they're really going to have to try to, you know, prioritize a player like that or a Sillinger. You see no points in 3 games for Sillinger, 1 assist in 2 games for Kent Johnson. Boone Jenner, 1 assist in 3 games. Again, you know, just that ripple effect from Gaudreau alone is not enough. They really needed Patrick Laine to show up big this year and score 40 plus goals. But if he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks or, you know, something in that whereabouts, I mean, that's going to be a big blow to this Blue Jackets team. And even a team like the Islanders that I'm not super high on, they went out and dropped 7 goals against the Anaheim Ducks at home on Saturday. You know, they really gave the Florida Panthers a tough game in their opener. I think the Islanders are even a big step above Columbus, especially after this Laine injury.
The Eastern Conference is just so competitive this year as well. So I'm on the same page as Nick about the Columbus Blue Jackets, even though it's quite early. The Atlantic is such a dominant division, and there's a lot of teams that are so talented that I think one wild card spot is going to go to the Metro. And down the stretch, I don't see the Columbus Blue Jackets being able to compete with the Washington Capitals, who are also off to a bit of a slow start, even though it's just slightly a slow start. I think they still had a lot to be proud of in their first couple of games. It didn't go in their favor, but I wasn't too disappointed. But I see a team like Washington more likely to make the playoffs, or even the New York Islanders, like Pete said, than the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I don't see them holding a candle to teams like the Boston Bruins.
And before we wrap, guys, one big injury blow to a team we've been critical of so far. Matt Murray goes to long-term IR. And one fan is asking, is Ilya Samsonov a must roster fantasy goalie for the rest of the season? I think he is, just because he's going to get so much goal support. And he was on our breakout candidate list for this season, a young goalie with a lot of upside if he settles in onto a good team.
I don't mean to be insensitive, but are we really shocked about Matt Murray? Like, it's insane to me. And this is probably the hill that Kyle Dubas, unfortunately for him, is going to die on, is going out there and acquiring Matt Murray when he probably could have paid like Jack Campbell $400K more per season, and he would have had Jack Campbell moving forward. But yet here they are in Leafs Nation. Ilya Samsonov, to answer the question, yes, I do think he's a must-add right now, because I think even when Matt Murray, if and when he can come back to the lineup, I think Samsonov, Anna, has a chance to be the number one guy moving forward.
We were higher on Samsonov than Matt Murray, when both of them were healthy in the offseason heading into the season. And man, I'm not going to be allowed to go back home after we're done with this topic, because I keep saying time and time again, the goaltending issue for the Leafs is going to come to haunt them now more than ever. I'm quite concerned with how they're going to go moving forward, because even though Samsonov is worth rostering, he is going to get that playing time, he is going to get those shots, I'm not confident that he's going to be able to keep his level of play that he's showcased in his first few times in the Toronto crease going. And he stumbled a lot in Washington. He was not a very consistent goalie in Washington behind a very, very solid team with a very solid core. So I'm kind of worried with what the Leafs are going to have to face these next couple of weeks.
And he has a mediocre career save percentage, 903 in 91 games. That's a lot of games. It's a pretty low save percentage, but he has started 2-0 with a 926 save percentage. So we'll give him some credit for defying the expectations so far this season. So a reminder, if you're up in Canada, check out Skip for all your food delivery needs. They're the official food delivery app of the NHL, and we couldn't be more excited, Nick, to be partnered with them for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I'm going to order some breakfast right now. So, Pete, I got to go, man.
Anna, thanks again for joining us. We appreciate the time. Talk to you again soon. Remember, NHL Fantasy on Ice presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. We'll talk to you guys again on Thursday.